Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Jesus. Are you excited to be here? Are you expectant? If you are expectant, give the Lord a shout. Glory, glory, glory to God. I'm honored to be here again this evening. I want to sincerely, in the spirit of honor, celebrate our father, Reverend Dr. David Ogbuele. When I was told I'll be ministering before him this evening, I asked the question, I said, do people minister with him? I felt we'll just pray, worship the Lord, and wait to receive. I'm a forerunner. I will just prepare the ground and move away. Because tonight we are all here to receive. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Can you lift your hands toward heaven and honor the Lord? I'll be sharing for just 1 hour, just to prepare our minds for what to expect and what to receive before God's servant comes to minister in the power of the Spirit. Can we just lift our hands and talk to the Lord to prepare our hearts, to widen our expectations, to sharpen our discernment? Just go ahead and tell the Lord you are ready to receive tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. We magnify your name. We honor you. We love you. Even tonight again, we ask that you take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's good to see Okopi Peterson. God bless you. Thank you for all you're doing. Love you so much. Hallelujah. Tonight, I just want to share with us very briefly in the next 1 hour a topic I titled, Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. Glory to God. How many of you are expecting heaven on earth tonight? I just want to share with us how the technology of the Spirit for establishing the dimensions and the civilizations of heaven on earth where we are now. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. Let's begin from there. Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And This was one of the emphases that was captured in his prayer. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything we try to achieve as we advance God's kingdom on the face of the earth is an attempt to bring earth to a place where earth mirrors heaven. That was God's original plan. Everything we want to achieve is captured in that reality. You know, when an immortal personality is talking, it's important to pay attention because his words are deeper than the language itself that is used to communicate it. It is actually a great limitation for a spirit to use human language to communicate a reality that is spiritual. However, when a spirit being, especially one in the rank of the Maker himself, is talking, it's important to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to explore the depths of his communication. And this is one of such scriptures where Jesus was trying to explain the of God's intention as it pertains to this physical civilization called the earth realm and the inhabitants of this realm. When you begin to study the Godhead, at least the little that the Bible reveals to us, because there's so much that we cannot know, so there was no need writing it in scripture. Because God is infinite, your finite man can't contain him. But the degree that was revealed to us, when you begin to study it, you will discover there are three forces that regulate the civilization of the Godhead. And these forces cannot be changed. They cannot be altered. The power that sustains them is as ancient as the Godhead himself. And these three forces are the will of God, the wisdom of God, God. Everything that receives God's approval must operate by the dictate of these three realities. The will of God, which is what God wants to do, and nothing can stop it, no matter what happens. What God wants must come to pass. That is the will of God. And then the wisdom of God is how God wants to achieve what he wants to achieve. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word will pass away. How God wants it done, where God wants it done, when God wants it done, his authority is capable to making it happen. And so everywhere you see the glory of God manifest is because the will of God, the wisdom of God, and the authority of God are in perfect alignment. And in this scripture, Jesus was revealing to us the will of the Father. This is what God had in mind even before he began the enterprise of creation. It's possible for you to appear in this realm through biological gateway and you want to become intelligent. When it has to do with destiny, you are not permitted to be creative. It was written before you came. Praise the Lord. It has already been trapped. And so your life will count to the degree that you align with the will of God, the wisdom of God, and the authority of God. It is foolishness to attempt to do otherwise. And so Jesus, revealing to us what God had in mind when he created the earth, was that heaven, the dimensions of heaven, should be seen on earth. And so any portion of earth that does not represent the dimension of heaven will need the intervention of the will of God, the wisdom of God, and the authority of God. The reason we have healings and miracles, signs and wonders, is because we want to insist that heaven will be visible in the earth realm. The hallmark and the assignment of man on the face of the earth is to replicate that dimension. In fact, when God created the earth, he decided to create a gateway between heaven and earth, and he called it Eden. And what God did was to put a portion of earth in that region, that garden, just to give man an idea of the prototype of the heavens. Because his goal in dominion is to ensure that Eden is not a garden. The whole visible realm should become Eden. But in order for him to find accuracy, the pattern of the heavens had to be represented on the earth in form of a garden. So the relevance of man in God's assignment is the degree to which he expands Eden to cover the whole earth. If you will start a family, you will start a family because you are capable of bringing Eden there, not because you are aged. If you think marriage is about age, then you got it wrong. Because the goal of our existence here is to make sure Eden becomes the only visible reality you see. Because Eden is not something that started from earth. It's something that started from heaven. It was planted. Eden is heaven extended to earth. And man's assignment is to advance the corridors of Eden. Now, when God began to speak to the man in Genesis 1:28, he said, let them have dominion. This time, the man was still in the spirit of God. Because this man that will be capable of extending heaven on earth also has to have heavenly elements. Because he will not be ancient enough to carry out that kind of mandate. So the man was not created from earth. He was created from God. The raw material for making the man came from inside God. It was not anywhere in the earth. He had to be older than the earth. Man is older than the earth. That's what I'm saying. Because man came from within God. In order for man to be able to function on earth, God had to give him a casing. So this one is not you. You are bigger than this. You are deeper than this. You are more ancient than this. If you spend all your life on eyelashes and mascara, it means you don't know your reality. This is why it's an error to judge a man by his size. When you want to judge a man, check his essence and how much he has tapped into it. A black man can be more relevant than a man in white skin. It's not about skin color. It's about ancientness in the spirit. Ancientness. How ancient are you in the spirit? And so when God created man, he gave him an assignment that was ancient. Assignment that is actually giving him the authority to co-create with God, to co-establish with God. And he said, let them have dominion. And the dominion God gave the first man is different from the dominion we have now. Because I want to take us on a journey. Some things will happen here this evening. But hear this, my part of this conference is not to manifest necessarily. My part is to bring us spiritual intelligence that is necessary for our making process. So anything you see on the altar, you should go and leave it. That's my own part. So that you will know that what will happen here is not a prerogative of a preacher. It is who we are. Everybody should walk in it. Miracle is not for miracle service. It's for everyday life. But there are truths that you will be equipped with in order to be able to live like that. If you can live like that, then the purpose of God has been accomplished. Praise the Lord. And so the first kind of dominion God gave the man was dominion over the atmospheric space, over the water, and over the land. He said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air. So he was giving him jurisdiction for operation. Have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fishes in the sea, and over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. And the reason God gave him this jurisdiction was twofold. Number one, because God was coming into the garden every day to fellowship with him. So God was bringing the external influence into the garden only from heaven, because the only realm that had access to the earth was heaven. Number two, because no other spirit had permission to function on earth. But the man did not know the potency and the wisdom that undergirded that instruction. And he decided to open the gate for other spirits. And so principalities and powers also gained authority to function on earth. This is why 2 Corinthians 4:3 said, the devil is the god of this world. Because when the man was created, he was given authority and jurisdiction over the earth realm. That's why he was called a dominion. The word dominion is the word kuriotes. And it means a prince that has been given authority over a territory. So the earth territory was man's region of exercising God's government. Unfortunately, in rebellion, he handed over the earth territory to the devil. And so when Jesus came, Jesus had to increase the scope of man's dominion. And so the man that lives now does not only have authority in the air, in the water, and in the sea. Because other spirits from other heavens now participate in the earth. The man now must have authority even in the heavenlies. And so now, it's not God alone that comes to earth. Man too must go to heaven. Christianity is not a religion. It is active partnership with divinity in order to establish the purpose of God. And if a man has not come to the level of actively partnering with God to establish the purpose of God on the face of the earth, he has not understood Christianity. This is an apostolic convergence. And so we have the permission to say hard things. Can somebody play keyboard for me? I need some sound so that I can come alive. The elements of my spirit man. I need to come alive. We are weak in the flesh. It's when we ascend that you see our reality. So let me come alive. Let me come alive. And so I began yesterday by telling us, when I rounded up, the revelation of the Christ, because I won't have the time to go over, that the cardinal revelation of the Christ is to open you up to certain possibilities. And I said, in Christ, we saw that there was access to God because of priesthood. Priesthood is the capacity given to you to be able to live from the presence. And we also saw that in Christ, you have access to the voice of God. The voice of God is what furnishes faith in your heart and empowers you with wisdom to carry out God's agenda. And we also saw that in priesthood, the scepter of kingship, in Christ rather, the scepter of kingship was handed to you in order for you to have authority to exercise God's government. And then over and above that, we also saw that the revelation was not just Christ, it was Christ crucified. And we began to look at what it meant for Christ to be crucified. And we said Christ crucified simply represents the errand runner of the Godhead. And so it reveals part one of the Godhead as a son who carries out the agenda of the Father. And so as the errand runner, there were also three qualifications. One, he must be the image of the Godhead. So he reveals the glory of God. What the world sees and they expect to actually see from you is not your skin color or your haircut. It's the measure of the glory of God that you reveal. That's why Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Because if you have apprehended the revelation of the Son, then you begin to manifest the glory of the Father. The second thing the Son represents is one that is led of the Spirit. And so it means, to be relevant in time, you don't have to be creative. You have to be yielded. You must be led. Because everything about your destiny has been written. You can be creative on your job, but when it has to do with destiny, you must be led. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, there was a verdict that was pronounced concerning you. And what will cause you to come under the leading of the Holy Spirit is the degree that you apprehend the revelation of the Son of God. So you know that you no longer live for yourself. You live to fulfill the agenda of a king that is in heaven. And his authority is what regulates your life. On any matter of destiny, everyone who knows the Son must be led. The Son came into the world. He said, as it is written in the volume of the books, I have come to do thy will, O God. There were many things he could do. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to die. But he must be led. And so he had to surrender his will for the will of the Father to take place. Unfortunately, Christianity in our day, we have not been taught the supreme position of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so there are many who don't even know that there's a spirit that leads men. And there are others who don't accept when the Holy Ghost is leading them. Because what the Holy Ghost is saying per time does not seem to bring the kind of advantage that they perceive if they were to be walking with their brain. It is not given to man that walketh to order his step. Every one of us must be led. And that is the summary of the revelation of the Son. And finally, the summary of the revelation of the Son is the fact that you live in obedience. God can chastise you. Because if God cannot chastise you, then you are a bastard. Where I want to begin my sermon from tonight is the price that God paid. Because when we say Christ and him crucified, and we reveal the benefit, It may not sink down well unless you know what God did. Then you will know how important you actually are in the equation of God and what you should do, the authority you have, the privileges you have. Because if you don't know the price that was paid, you won't know the value that God has on what the price was paid for. If I ask you now for a second, what is the value of your existence? You may make the mistake of evaluating yourself based on the kind of passport you have. For those of you who travel, you understand. If you come to the airport, if your passport is green, you are in trouble. The queue you will follow. The queue. The probing they will give to you at the airport. You will now start asking yourself, am I a criminal? It's because of the country you came from. There's a value men have placed there. And if you are not careful, you may begin to evaluate yourself based on the value your passport has placed upon you. But you see, we are citizens of heaven. We are only living on earth from Nigeria. We are actually not Nigerians. We are ambassadors of heaven, representing heaven in Nigeria, to carry out the agenda of God in Nigeria. Are you following? So, in order to give us an idea of our value before God and the assignment God has trusted us with, let's look at the price God was willing to pay. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to verse 9. If I have the Message version, I will love it. Yeah. The year Jesus died, he is still in the grave at this time. So it's actually important for us to look at this subject now. It's important. You know, a lot happened. A lot happened. Jesus, the suffering Jesus went through in 1 week, nobody can go through it. Even if you wanted to do it. Because there are many quarters where people do a lot of penance. You will die. And even if you die, your blood does not have the capacity to buy what he wanted to buy. Your blood is weak in those corridors. When the immortals come, they will check your blood based on the purity. They will check your blood based on the immortality. And you don't have such capacity. When did Jesus die? You know, Jesus didn't die on Friday. I'm sure you know that already. This is a teaching ministry. Because if he died on Friday, he would have been in the grave for 1.5 days and 1.5 nights. The Bible said he will be in the grave for 3 days and for 3 nights. It must be completed. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, he said, so shall the Son of Man also be in the belly of the grave for 3 days and for 3 nights. And so the year he died was the year of the high Sabbath. And so in John chapter 19 from verse 31, he said they had to break their legs so that they would die faster because the Sabbath was upon them. And so if you check it carefully, he died sometime after midnight on Thursday. So he was on the grave from that day, the 12th midnight into evening, which was the first day, Thursday, then Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Early on Sunday morning, he woke up. Now, if he was there in the grave from early hours of Thursday morning, then consider the agony, the fear, the pains before the crucifixion. You will have an idea what happened. But I don't have the time to go through the narrative. That's why I'm using this scripture to summarize it. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. He said, think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. And I will come back here. Because this is where the journey of making earth like heaven begins from. But I will come back. Go to verse 6. He said he had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantage of that status no matter what. I wish I had time to explain to us the advantage of being God. the advantage of being God. That you are not created. You created all things. You are designing those things for your pleasure. When John went to heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and the angels were worshipping God, they said all things were created for your pleasure. So even mosquito give pleasure to God. Sand give pleasure. When the sea is moving, there is a kind of pleasure God derives. Now imagine the volume of things on the earth. If you go into the spider kingdom alone, you can't classify all the spiders. The classification of spider, you can't exhaust it. Now, all the creations on earth, both animate and inanimate, all of them are giving God pleasure at the same time. How can he even contain that pleasure in the first place? Animate and inanimate are all giving. Do you know, if you go to Sheraton or you go to Marriott, and they bring to you all the pleasures in Marriott, you will faint. Now, if you upgrade it a little, and you now go to maybe Dubai, and they take you to the best hotel, and they give you all the pleasures, you may sleep for 48 hours. You will wake up and miss your flight because of the weight of pleasure you will enjoy. Now, imagine a being that is enjoying all the pleasures in all the world at the same time. They said, Jesus did not cling to those pleasures. He didn't cling to those advantages. In order to come save you, he decided to put all of that aside. This is God's attempt to show you what you mean to him. That means you are greater than all the pleasure in the world. In the eyes of God, you are superior to every pleasure the world can offer. So yourself don't even have to for something that is superior to pleasure, because you are worth more than all the pleasures in the world put together. He didn't stop there. He said even the status decided to relinquish it. It's no longer news in Nigeria, the battle going on for the office of the president. Do you know the level? The whole country, people had to battle everywhere. We came out to vote. After we voted, INEC went through the procedure of counting, of announcing. Now there is battle going on in court, all for one position, because there is so much power that is invested into that office. Now, that office of the president is one in West Africa. There are many presidents in West Africa. Then there are many presidents in Africa. Then there are many presidents in the world. Now, all the presidents of the world put together, if all the authority is merged, it doesn't compare to the status of God. Because God created man before presidency even came. He said, Jesus took away the status of being God and put it aside. Now, the question you ask yourself is, what is man? If you will give up all the pleasure, all the authority allocated to this status, what is man? And he didn't stop there. Go further to verse 7. He said, when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took the status of a slave. If he became man, it would have been enough. But even among men, he became a slave. You know, when we just said the cross, people assume the cross is a wood with somebody hang on it. The cross is not a wood, it's an economy. It's an economy of deifying Jesus and humanizing him. They removed Godship from Christ and made him human, and even among humans, he became a slave. That's the economy of the cross. He became a slave just to achieve one purpose. And he said he didn't just become a slave, he became a slave among humans. Go further. He said, becoming human, he stayed human. He said, this is an incredible. That means the anatomy of Jesus changed, the physiology of Jesus changed. If you became a pig today to save pigs, a lot will happen to you. So a lot happened to Jesus even before he started suffering. So he called it an incredibly humbling process. And he said, as a man, he didn't cleave to any special privilege. Instead, he lived selfless. So even among slaves, he didn't derive any privilege. He was a selfless slave. And he said he was not just a selfless slave for some time. He said he died a selfless slave. And that death was an obedient death. And it was not a normal death. It was the death of a criminal hung on a cross naked. So Creator was being embarrassed by creation. What he produced with his hand is torturing him. He had the power to say, die. Everybody die. But he humbled himself. And he was made naked. He was condescended to suffer the shame that men suffer. And the greatest of that shame. And he didn't do anything. And he died in that shame. To achieve something. And he said, for this reason, God gave him a name that is above every other name. And the question you ask yourself now is, did Jesus needed a name? Did he need a name? No. Because before he became man, his Lord, when his assignment is over, he will ascend and still be Lord. So what is the name about? So the name is not for Jesus. The name is actually for everyone that will come into Jesus. That's why I said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. And so anybody who is in Christ now receives the legal authority to use the authority that originally belonged to Jesus. This is why our brother was sharing yesterday that when we use the name of Jesus, we invoke all the dimensions of the Christ at the same time. And the reason God gave us that magnitude of authority cannot be for bread and wine. God cannot give you the name with which everything on earth will bow, so that you can have food to eat. He was thinking of something superior to what we have to eat. And what he was thinking of was for you and I to have the authority to establish his government on the face of the earth. And so everybody sitting here who is in Christ is an ambassador of heaven with the requisite authority to establish government on the face of the earth. If we are not yet doing that, then we don't know why we are here. And so when Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he wasn't expecting angels to do it. He was expecting everyone that will take his name upon himself to become that agency that advances God's government. And so if you are in the bank, if you are in the family system, if you are in the economy, if you are in the academia, you are not there for salary. Salary can't sustain you. Your purpose is bigger than salary. It will take something more than salary to bring heaven to earth. And the first thing God gave you in order to qualify to bring heaven to earth is that the name that was given to Jesus was handed over to you. That is why when he resurrected, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He now said, you go in that power. I never needed that power because I am the source of power. The reason I had to route that power legally is so that you will qualify to use it. I don't need that power. I didn't die for power. I died so that you can qualify for power. And so when you were commissioned, you were commissioned as an agent and agency of power. I'm just telling you the qualification. Because when we are talking about heaven on earth, it's a declaration of war. There are many spirits who are already here trying to take possession of this place. Possession of this place. When we say thy kingdom come, we are declaring war. Because what we are saying is, whatever it was that existed, we will uproot it and we will plant another one. This is why we could not have done it except as all power was invested. He said, at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so when I come to a place and I say, Jesus, I'm trying to establish a kingdom. I'm trying to establish a dominion. I'm trying to establish a government. It is in that government that what I need to eat will come. What I need to eat is a byproduct. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added to you. So my food is an addition. My health is an addition. My prosperity is an addition. My goal is to establish the kingdom. So the power that was given to me is power for dominion, to establish kingdom. I'm a kingdom agent. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I came from heaven. I represent heaven's interest. And until heaven appears here, I will not stop. When you see us walking night and day, it's not because we are looking for a position. Man, don't give.
does not come from the east, the west, the north, nor the south. It cometh from the Lord. And it is the degree of my efficacy in kingdom advancement that I will be ranked in Zion. And so when God see that this subject of kingdom, I am sold out to it, God himself begins to promote me. Because when I'm promoted, God's agenda is promoted. When I'm enhanced, God's agenda is enhanced. When I'm increased, God's agenda is increased. But the foundation is that I have to go in the name of Jesus. He said, they that believe have put on the Lord Jesus. We wear Christ. We talk Christ. We preach Christ. We live Christ. Because that is the seal of authority that we have. This is why we are not afraid. Because nothing can happen to us. We are the ones who make things happen. When you touch us, you touch Christ. When we speak, Christ appears. And there is already a verdict that every knee bows at the instance of that name. The second thing that was given to us by reason of the cross and the resurrection is the anointing. The anointing. There is a force, an energy that has been put into our spirit man. And the force that was put into us was the same force that was in Jesus Christ. I'm saying this so that you will know that everything Jesus was giving, he wasn't giving because of him. He was giving for us. In Acts 10:38, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In Acts 1:8, he said, not many days from now, you too shall receive what? The Holy Ghost and power. The same Holy Ghost and power with which he was anointed is the same Holy Ghost and power with which you are anointed. But the question is, when the anointing came upon him, what did he do? In Luke 4:18, he went straight to the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. What began to happen? Government began to change hands. What was established by the devil, he began to substitute it by a new establishment. He said to preach the gospel to the poor, to send me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are oppressed. What the other government was establishing, I came to upturn it. And so the anointing is to establish the civilization of heaven on earth. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no brokenheartedness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. And so the reason the anointing came is not for me to become a superstar. It's for me to ensure anybody I touch, anywhere I go, heaven replaces earth. In Luke 4:14-15, he said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, in darkness have seen a great light. Light is the realm of heaven. He brought it to substitute darkness. Why? Because the anointing came. Camp meeting is not just a place to receive more impartation. It's a place to receive more empowerment. That means as you live here, something must happen in the bank where you work. As you live here, something must happen in your family. As you live here, something must happen on your job. Anything that is not of God, you stand up, you say, I come in the name of Jesus. You stand up, you say, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon my life. And so in the name of Jesus, I command this to change. You are a change agent. Christianity came here to be empowered as a change agent. If you come home and somebody is sick, you say, no, that's not of heaven. In the name of Jesus, I substitute it with health. You go somewhere, somebody is suffering from poverty. You say, in the name of Jesus, I speak favor over you. And things begin to change. Because you came, heaven came. When we sing, we are bringing heaven. When we preach, we are bringing heaven. When we talk, we are bringing heaven. We are not performers. We are agents of change. We are agents of change. We are not superstars. We are government agents. When we come, what you see is the kingdom of God. You can't walk into a place and sickness survive. You can't walk into a place and there's such a thing called bad luck. Bad luck don't exist where you are. Anything you say becomes. Because there's a name given to you. There's an anointing upon your life. It's a day that believe out of their bellies. He didn't say a cup of water. In the Old Testament, you are permitted to use a cup. He said, with joy, you shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation. That is the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we don't draw water from the wells of salvation. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living waters, rivers of living waters, rivers of living waters. When the river moves, it dominates everything in its way. It takes over because you have become a takeover agent. That's who you are. It doesn't matter your gender, your age, or where you come from. You can be male or female. You can be white or black. It doesn't matter. Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. You, but God didn't just stop there. He didn't just give us a name. He didn't just give us an anointing. He went further in order to bring us to his class, because we may be anointed and still not operate in God's class. We may be given a name and not have the power to use that name. Maybe there's no revelation. And so in addition to a name he gave us, in addition to an anointing, the Bible said he now went further to upgrade our class. And he gave us his life. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Listen, when you are using the name of God, the devil can come and threaten you with reprisal attacks. He can come and threaten you with manipulation. In order for you to have absolute insurance, God did not just give you a name and an anointing. He put his life on your inside. Do you know what the life of God is? It's a deathless life. It cannot die. It's an indestructible life. It cannot be destroyed. It's a life that does not diminish. It's a life that does not perish. That's why he said, when eternal life was given to you, you were exonerated from the economy of perishing. And that's why Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. Even if they walk on serpents and scorpions, it shall by no means hurt them. When they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. So there's no technology that can destroy you anymore. You have entered into the economy of the superior life. Did you not read? In 1 John 5:4, it said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But where does it come from? Whoever is born of God, that man has a kind of life that cannot be destroyed. And so in addition to the name, in addition to the anointing, there's a life on your inside. There is a life on your inside. What makes God God is now in you. That's why you are called the Son of God. You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And the Bible calls us his brethren. His brethren. Although he's our creator, although he's our savior, but in the realm of the economy of life, we have the same life with him. So we are now brethren. And so anything that can't destroy Jesus can't destroy you. When they came to arrest him, Jesus looked at them and said, who seek ye? They said, Jesus, the son, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. They went back and fed. Hey! It's a life. It's a life that helps you to manifest God. Soldiers with armors. Whom seek ye? Jesus, the Son of God. I told you already, I am he. They went back and fed. And he looked at them and he said, you came with bows, with clubs, to arrest me like a criminal. Peter carried knife and cut somebody's neck. He said, put it aside. We don't fight with knives. We fight with words. When we talk, things happen. We operate in the realm of God. A God, hear this. A God does not walk by laboring. A God walks by talking. He said, there was darkness on the earth. He said, let light appear. He said the dry ground was covered with water. He said, let the dry ground appear. When a God is talking, he is walking. We don't fight with arrows. We fight with words. And he looked at them. This commandment have I received of the Father. No one can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and to take it up again. So when you have that life, things don't happen to you. You make things happen. I prophesy over someone the power of eternal life. You will begin to manifest it from this conference. Give the Lord a shout. Sit down for a moment. I'm going somewhere. And so on the strength of the cross and the resurrection, we were given a name. On the strength of the cross and the resurrection, we were given an anointing. On the strength of the cross and the resurrection, we were given a life. And on the strength of the cross and resurrection, righteousness was imputed into our spirits. So we have the right now to participate. You know, when people don't understand spiritual things, they take pride in the wrong things. Somebody wants to go see the governor. He announces it to everybody. He wears his best dress, which is good. But we have meetings superior to meeting with men. They say, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. You have come to a higher assembly. There are meetings we attend that is superior to what is held in a co-hotel and suits. That's why nothing on earth is qualified to gain our pride. We don't put our pride on earthly things. We now appear among princes in the spirit. And this is why a man who doesn't pray, he doesn't know what prayer is. They say, come for fellowship. You stroll casually. Fellowship is not a place to come casually. Fellowship is a place to come like a king. It's called the ecclesia. Representatives of different dimensions of God are meeting. I told you yesterday, he said, some are kings, some are wise men, some are healers. We are a conglomeration of dimensions of God. And that's why the fullness of God is the church and the Christ. So when you come here, you are coming for a meeting that is of the highest excellency. Because you have been made righteous, you cannot participate. You cannot interact with things that are immortal. See, people who don't know these things, they are struggling to be accepted. When they are praying, they are conscious of their weakness. They are conscious of their rejection. No, when we are weak, that's when we pray. Because there is another word where we draw sufficiency from. It said, for we know not what to pray for as we ought to. It said, but the Spirit Himself helped our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Nothing defeats you anymore, because now you have partnership in realms beyond time. I tell people, your friends on earth should not be more than your friends in the spirit. No. The word of the spirit is superior to the natural world. By all means, connect to Zion. Connect to Zion. There are angels there. There are elders there. There are spirit of judgment made perfect there. All of these beings are waiting for fellowship and interaction. Did you not read about Jesus? When Jesus became tired, he went to pray. He said, angels came to strengthen him. Because the disciples couldn't help in that time. Another time, he said in Matthew 17, verse 2 and 3, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. And he said, suddenly, there appeared Moses and Elias. These are just men made perfect. And so when Jesus wants to interact, there is a higher realm of interaction. How can I be depressed? Because somebody lied against me? Somebody lied against me. If men fail me on earth, I look for men in heaven. Men are not only on earth. When John was carried to heaven, he wanted to worship the angel. He said, worship me not. I'm one of your brethren. They are not only men on heaven. They are men on the other side. And can I shock you? Every dimension you carry is a spiritual lineage. You are not the first carrying it. If you are a singer, there was once a David who could play harps and summon angelic entities. And so if things go wrong, all the singers on earth can betray you. Look for the worshippers that have crossed over. We are a mystical being. You don't know that? All the prophets betray you. Don't worry. They are not only prophets on earth. Daniel has crossed over. Elijah has crossed over. If Jesus could talk to them, you can interact with them in those realms. Don't be troubled. You see people running helter-skelter, trying to win the favor of men. If God gives you favor with men, that's beautiful. But our advantage is not only in time. Come to Mount Zion. He said, who is it that can wield that kind of power. He said, he that is of a clean hands, of a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul in vanity. And so if I want to be insured in my relationship, all I need to do is to stay humble, stay holy, stay pure. And I know everybody can betray me. Everybody can disappoint me. I will not be bitter. I will not be broken. I will not be depressed. Anybody that lives, he is supposed to live. His story with me has ended. But there is a realm where we draw strength from. We draw strength. We draw strength. We draw strength. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos. Patmos is the island of death. The word Patmos means death. So when he said Isle of Patmos, it means the island of my death. They rejected him. Nobody stood for him. Nobody was even strong to defend him. They took him to that isle. Because church history told us they tried to kill him. They couldn't. That was John. They pulled him at the back of chariots. He wouldn't die. They threw him to oil. He wouldn't die. So they took him to an island and said, we separate you from civilization. Die of loneliness. Die of depression. But he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And he saw the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He began to interact with another civilization. And when he finished with Jesus, in Revelation 4 verse 1, he said, I heard a voice from heaven and a door opened. And he said, come up hither. And as he turned, he saw 24 elders. In Revelation chapter 5, he said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. In Revelation 19, he saw another person he wanted to worship. He said, no, I'm your brother. So in one encounter, he met Jesus. He met the 24 elders. He met the four beasts. And he met spirit of just men made perfect. How can such a man be lonely? From the island of Patmos, he started writing letters. And they say, whoever read this letter is blessed. How can a man sentenced to death become a source of blessing? Because there are realms. There are dimensions. We are not of earth. We are on earth, but we are of heaven. I write to the church of Ephesus. I write to the church of Pergamos. I write to the angel of the church of Sardis. And a man who was sentenced for death began to bring the chronicles of the ancients. And he was communicating the oracles of God, not just to men, but to churches. Because our reality does not end in time. We are on earth, but we are of heaven. When Jesus was walking in Nazareth, he said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. We don't begin here. We came from a realm ancient. And we came here to communicate the life of that realm. And so our assignment here is to bring that dimension here. The Bible said the world is in darkness. He said darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. But you, he said, arise, shine. For your light is come. You don't begin here. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. Not according to the government of your country. He said, according to his riches in glory. You are of another reality. And so in this conference, my burden is to set somebody on fire. To travel back to those realms eternal. That was the power of the psalmist. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I live in a realm superior to time. When you look at me and you think all I am is what you see, you have erred. I'm of heaven. I'm of heaven. I'm of heaven. Because when he died and resurrected, he brought me into the newness of life. Sit down for a moment. Revival. Because sometimes men can interact with this world and forget where they came from. They will interact with this world and forget the realm where they came from. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When you find men that have taken pleasure in the world, they are lost. That's why I said, if our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost. Because carnality blinds you from the reality of your world. It blinds you. A generation must rise that craves for the things that are deeper than time. A generation must rise that craves for the things that God has made available. In Romans 15 verse 4, he said, the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. What are the things written? The things written are men that demonstrated the powers of the ages to come. And it was not written just for you to be aware of it. It was written so that you will know how you need to live your life. From time immemorial, scriptures reveal to us how men brought the government of God to superimpose it over the government of men. And they took over. He wrote concerning Moses, a man who went into those encounters and came back, and suddenly the rod of Moses became the rod of God. And Moses will walk into a civilization with a rod and say, let my people go that they may worship me. And one man defied the economy of a nation, defied the army of a nation, defied the power of the strongest monarchy of the then world. And he demonstrated realities of heaven, so much so that even the scripture called him a god. In Exodus 7 verse 1, he said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron is thy prophet. When Moses was leaving Egypt, Pharaoh thought maybe what he did was manipulation, and he gathered his army to pursue him. Moses turned to the Lord and he said, go forward. In Exodus 14, the man stretched his rod and a sea parted. For the first time, there was no technology of boat. Sea parted. And Israel walked on dry ground. Pharaoh still thought maybe it was a manipulation of weather. When he entered, he was swallowed. Because it was a power that kept the water. It was not a coincidence. A man of heaven came with a dimension. And the psalmist writing, and he told us, with a blast of his nostril, he parted the Red Sea. So it was something heavenly happening on the earth. That is what we were called to live. To bring men out of darkness. To showcase the government of heaven. Else we will be talkers. And we cannot represent God. Israel was fighting. And the Bible said, Joshua stood up. When he saw that the advantage was under sunlight. And he stood and he said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Who talks to the sun? You think Christianity is about a beautiful service? No. We came here to show a dying world the dimensions of the invincible God. He said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. And let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said, the sun did not make haste to go down. In the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. God hearkened to the voice of a man. The day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. Men demonstrated heaven on earth. And in their generation, the worship and memory of God became what every man ran to. Not because they preached intelligent messages, but they demonstrated power that you could not deny. That you could not deny. Elijah finished his assignment on earth and he said, today God will take me. Who told you God takes men? Where did you read it from? Who told you God takes men? And the man did not just bluff. He walked through four cities because he wanted Elisha to relax. But Elisha knew that this is not a talker. When this man speaks, it happens. And he said, as surely as the Lord liveth, I will not leave you today. What do you want? I need a double portion. You carry something, I know. And the man came to where God will carry him. He knew the location. And he said, now what do you want? Tell me. He knew the location. How do you know? Meanwhile, we are proud, priding ourselves. I'm in Heathrow Airport. And so what? When people are entering airports that carry them to heaven, you are bragging about Heathrow Airport. I'm sitting in a first class. I'm sitting in a business class. Who cares what class you are sitting? The world is dying. We are looking for men of power that can bring witness. Who cares the class you fly? The guy knew where God would take him from. And when the time came, this is the hour. And suddenly, a chariot and whirlwind took him. Took him. See, this man. What is man? Do you know why Jesus died for man? What is man? And this man was so relevant, God didn't kill him. Because God knew he will need him in another lifetime. And Elijah alone came into the world 4 times. So if Elijah wants to celebrate birthday, which one will he celebrate? 4 times one man came into the world. After God took him, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He showed back, showed up again. In John the Baptist, he showed up and he said, Elijah will come as one of the 2 witnesses. What kind of life is that? Because they touched heaven so much, they became immortals even while they were walking in this body. The Bible spoke about Moses. Moses could not die. God had to kill him. God had to kill him because the guy had become like a god. So God hid Moses and killed him. Even after God killed Moses, the devil, hear this, the devil came looking for the dead body of Moses. So the dead body of one man is better than the living body of another person. And see, principalities are fighting over the dead body of a man. Michael was mobilized to fight with the devil because of the dead. Because even the dead body of Moses carried technologies of heaven. There were things installed in that body that if the devil carries it, it will give him an advantage. Why am I sharing this? The Bible said the value of a man is not in the multitude of his possession. Our generation has been robbed of the things that matter. The knowledge of the holy is no longer among men. And we pursue mundane things, pride in mundane things, whereas our world is dying. We are supposed to be the light. You find Christians pursuing worldly musicians. Those are their idols. Check a Christian's phone. The songs there from the beginning to the end are songs that don't edify. Picked up from the realms of demons. Because we don't know what to look out for. A revival is coming. A revival is coming. Because most of the things that men handled, they are for dispensations. Everything you see a man walking is for a dispensation. Enoch was raptured because rapture belongs to a dispensation. And so the things we have seen in scripture, a generation is coming that will host it all. That's why I told you the purpose of the apostolic ministry is to bring the ministry of the fullness, where everybody grows to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Because everything people demonstrated individually, Jesus alone walked in all of it. Moses needed to part the Red Sea. Jesus was operating at a superior dimension. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't need to part the water. He walked on it. It's one level to part the water. It's another level to walk on the water. Yes, he walked on it. Elisha needed to lie on the dead to come back to life. Jesus stood and said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't just wake up. The power carried him to the door. Because he was wrapped, he didn't need to walk. The energy was beyond coming alive. It can also mobilize you. We have been called to mirror heaven on earth. How then can death be in your family? How then can barrenness be in your family? Somebody will leave this conference with a holy anger. A holy anger. A holy anger. A holy anger. Because Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, the works that I have done, greater works shall ye do. And so when you see Jesus' life, you photocopy it in your own life. That's what we are called to do, to bring heaven to earth. We are called to demonstrate heaven on earth. Do you know where the world is going? One world economy. You think it's economic intelligence? The devil is trying to control people. A day is coming when you need technologies beyond principles. A day is coming where you will need food urgently, but you have to meet demonic requirements to be able to buy food. And because you cannot sell your soul, you will need another technology to generate food. So you have to go back to the mountain where Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied it to feed 5,000 men. That technology must become a reality. So you carry 1 cup of beans. You say, in the name of Jesus, don't finish. In the name of Jesus, don't finish. And then you will know that reproduction is not only among men. In the name of Jesus, don't finish. Because if the world don't see wonder, they won't bow to our God. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Sit down. 5 minutes, I'm out of here. 5 minutes. I just want to show you. I want to show you 5 things that you must leave doing in order to walk this life. Give the Lord a shout! Resurrection gave us the right to use the name of Jesus. The cross and the resurrection gave us the right to operate in the anointing. The cross and the resurrection gave us access to eternal life. And the cross and the resurrection bequeathed us righteousness, and so we can participate in the realm of God. This is why walking heaven on earth is a possibility. Because the life of God is in you, and you have the ability of God, so you can bring God's reality to the earth realm. Now, what are the requirements? This is the way of a spiritual man. Sit down in the next 10 minutes, quickly. Number one, a man who has been brought to this realm must understand and engage the mystery of the prophetic word. That's why I told you, we live by talking. Because we have been brought to the God class. And in the God class, you walk by talking. Let there be light. Light appeared. Let the dry ground be separated from the waters. It was separated. If you don't understand how the prophetic word works, you can never create the possibility of heaven on earth. You will wish it, but your wish is not strong enough. The first dimension that you must master and engage is the mystery of the prophetic word. How does the mystery of the prophetic word work? What you say is what you have. Because your words are a product of your consciousness. And your consciousness is where the power of God is generated. Ephesians 3:20, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. But it's according to the power that worketh on your inside. So a man who wants to see heaven on earth must understand how to engage the mystery of the prophetic word. You sustain the right consciousness and you utter it. But this utterance has 3 things that govern it. Number one, you speak when the Spirit moves. He said the Spirit was moving upon the face of the deep, and God said. So any man who wants to engage the spirit of the prophetic word must know what to do to keep the anointing stirred. This is why you must create your own ecosystem. There are persons that the Spirit of God moves when they pray. If you know the Spirit of God is dead when you pray, prayer must become your life. There are those that the Spirit of God moves when they worship. If you worship and the Spirit of God moves, worship must become your life. Anything you do to keep the Spirit of God moving, do it as a lifestyle. Because whenever the Spirit of God is moving, if you speak the word is energized. The creative word must be spoken upon the movements of the waters. And so the prophetic word works when the Spirit moves. Number two, the prophetic word works when you understand the will of God and you are functioning from the will of God. If you are not functioning from the realm of the will of God, you will speak, but there will be no result. The moment Elijah knew that the will of God was for the widow to sustain him, 1 Kings 17:13, he said to the widow, "You will not surely die. Go and prepare the dough, but make for me first." You look at it and you think this man is callous. A widow is saying, "All I have is a cup. I want to eat for me and my son to die." And you are saying, "Make for me first." Don't you have conscience? The guy was operating at an economy superior to your thinking. He knew that the will of God was for the widow to sustain him. And so anything the widow has to sustain him cannot finish. "Prepare for me, it will not finish." As he spoke from the will of God, it stood. Because the will of God is power. And finally, for you to operate the mystery of the prophetic word, you must speak as commanded. In Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 14, he said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me. He took me to the valley of dry bones. And he told him, 'Mortal man, can these bones live?' He said, 'Only thou know it.' He said, 'Prophesy.' And the man began to prophesy. From broken bones that were dry to an exceeding great army." How did he rout that part? He said, "I prophesied as I was commanded." Anybody who wants to function by the prophetic word, which is one of the ways of bringing heaven to earth, must labor to keep the anointing stirred. He must labor to hear the voice of God, because he talks as is commanded, and he must labor to understand the will of God. This is where Christianity becomes a practice. It's beyond coming to church and receiving an impartation. If you will become, there's something you must do. If the anointing on your life is congealed like stone, you will be in trouble. If you don't know the will of God on a matter, you will be in trouble. And if you don't hear the voice of God, you will be in trouble. The mystery of the prophetic word. You speak under a stirred anointing. You speak in the center of the will of God for a matter. And you speak as you are commanded. Every word you speak becomes a creative word. He said the words were framed by the word of God. And the things which are were not made out of the things which do appear. You can produce anything if you will pay the price to keep the anointing stirred. If you will pay the price to understand the will of God, and if you will pay the price to hear the voice of God. Many Christians are not there. That's why they think Christianity is a lie. When they are defeated, they are angry with God. You can be angry with God. It doesn't change him. He's called God. I am that I am. He doesn't need you to be God. You need him to be human. And you can argue for as long as you want. It doesn't change anything. He's called Ancient of Days. When you die, he will still be alive. When you appear in heaven, he will still be there. And so you move from one reality to another. You change. He's constant. So you better learn how it works. Israel, in 1 Samuel 7, kept the ark of God for 20 years and they were lamenting. And they were being overcome because they didn't understand how the prophetic spirit works. We are a prophetic people. That's why the Holy Ghost is on your inside. And so if you want to dominate this world, you must live as a prophetic person. Wars are sensitive things in the spirit economy, but you must know how to use them. If you don't know how to use them, you will destroy yourself. Anger is a negative anointing. If you are angry and you speak destruction, it will happen. You will see it. And so you are stirring the right anointing and sustaining that anointing to speak what you want to see. Are we together? Praise the Lord. The second thing you must engage if you want to establish heavenly reality on earth is to obey the law of the anointing. Because all of us are anointed, but there's a law that governs the anointing. There's an anointing on your life. It says, "They that believe, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters." But there is a law that governs that anointing. The first law that governs the anointing is that God must be with you. You don't operate the anointing on your own journey, for your own personal gain. Every man who functions under the anointing correctly stays under the shadow of the Almighty. God must be with you. You operate the anointing under God's government. This is where character becomes important. Because many persons are trying to use the anointing to merchandise the people of God. And for selfishness, that kind of anointing will not have the validation of God. Number two, to operate the anointing, God must be glorified. God must be with you, number one. Acts 10:38. God must be glorified. John 2:11. When Jesus manifested the anointing and worked the first miracle, he said God was glorified. The anointing is not to glorify you. Allow God, he will honor you. When you are praising, the anointing is about God's business. If you will ensure that God is glorified, then you can replicate heaven on earth. This is why many are healing the sick, but God is not there. And the purposes of God don't find expression. Because the man is raising the dead, healing the sick, so that he can become a reputable or a revered person. And you go to certain places, people are lying down to hold people's leg and worshipping people literally in church. So much happening, but you can't see the will of God there. Because God is not being glorified. Man is being glorified. The third law that governs the anointing is that it's for the deliverance of God's people. Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And everything he did was about people. Gospel was for the poor. Deliverance was for the captive. Opening of sight was for the blind. Opening of deaf ear was for the dead. Healing was for the brokenhearted. The anointing is meant to bring God's goodness, God's benevolence to the life of others. God is concerned about you. But he anointed you so that you can bring his government to the territory and to others. If you obey these three laws, the anointing to bring God's will, God's wisdom, and God's power into an ecosystem will be operational in your life. This is a making dimension. And this is what every one of us is called into. If you find one Christian in a family, it's enough to bring God's will there. You don't need 10 of them. In fact, a Christian can grow in stature that when you find one in a city, he's enough. He said, Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there and the whole city was full of joy. Because if Philip doesn't go there, there's already a witch, a wizard in that city that already bewitched the whole city. And so we must grow in these things until we can bring God's law and government over cities, not just families. Because if we don't rise to do it, men will rise in darkness that we do it. Number three, you must understand the way of righteousness. If you want to bring heaven on earth, I told you yesterday, righteousness is not just a nature. Yes, it begins as a nature, but it graduates from a nature. It said in Titus 2:11 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, not just to give them a nature, teaching them that denying, this is the way of righteousness, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, goodly in this present world. And so everyone who wants to bring heaven here must first of all live it as a life. In 1 John 3:7-10, it said, little children, let no man deceive you. Him that doeth righteousness is righteous. There is a doing aspect of it. You cannot be under the government of the devil and want to discomfit the devil. You are a fornicator. You come to church. You want to cast out the demon of immorality. You are partners in crime. Both of you are agents of that spirit. And so if you need to bring that kind of authority and government to a territory, yourself must first of all abstain from corruption. You want to pray against a corrupt government? When you are cheating in the office, when you are compromising on your business, where do you have the authority from? The same spirit that makes you compromise at the office and in your business is the same spirit making the president to compromise. You are all compromising at different levels. And so how can you come and want to fight that spirit? A house divided against itself cannot stand. You will lose the authority to do that. This is why many are talking, nothing is happening. So there is the way of righteousness. We must pay the price to live holy, soberly, denying ungodliness in this world. When the story of Daniel was told, he said they sought to find an occasion against Daniel. They didn't find one. That's a politician. So a politician can live holy. A politician can live righteous. This is why they had authority to bring heaven to earth. One man will speak and a government will collapse. He said, you have been weighed in the balances and your kingdom have been divided to the Medes and the Persians. That same night, the largest civilization in the world collapsed because one man spoke. They could find nothing against him. They could find nothing. If our garment is not pure, we will lack the authority to bring the government of God to the Israel. It's called the way of righteousness. Number four, you must understand the force of faith. If you don't believe it, you can't see it. Spirits don't respond to what you say only. They respond first of all to what you believe. If you are saying one and your heart is saying another, you will not have the result you are looking for. The mountains move if you do not doubt in your heart. And so many have not yet been schooled in the way of faith. The world have taught us how to live our lives. We live in fear. We live in uncertainty. We live based on human promises. We have not known how to stand and trust in the Lord. And this is why when it has to do with the spirit economy, all the devil needs to do is to make us to fluctuate. And he said, if you fluctuate like the wave of the sea, you will not receive anything from the Lord. All things are yours, but you will receive it if you are not tossed like a wave. The moment you start shaking your ground, you will not be tossed. And so the way of faith is a necessary ingredient if we must wield authority enough to bring heaven to earth. This is why you eat the word of God as you eat food. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not something you enter through resolution. It's a metamorphosis. You become it as light enters your spirit. And so any man who wants to live by the way of faith must saturate himself with the word of God so much that even unconsciously he thinks the word. Because what you think in your heart is who you are. And so for the way of faith to become your way, the word must inundate you. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua 1:8. He said, you shall meditate upon it day and night. Seeing that you do that which was written therein, then you shall have good success and make thy way. He didn't say God will make your way. He said, you will make thy way prosperous. So the power to create the change we are looking for, even to mirror the dimensions of the heaven, is possible. But it is to the degree of our faith. Number five is the way of prayer, or the authority of prayer. Nothing changes except as men pray. A generation that wants to see heaven on earth must make prayer their way of life. He said in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That was a whole church in a whole territory. Epaphras' prayer was sufficient to establish God's government in Colossus. So when men pray, things happen. Prayer is not a religious activity. Prayer is a legalistic system in the spirit to change things on earth to conform with the way they are in the spirit. If a generation can't pray and pray correctly, they cannot see the interventions of God. Check the scripture. The men that changed their world were men of prayer. After Cain killed Abel and the earth plunged into darkness, the Bible said in Genesis 4:26, it said, from the time of Enosh, it said men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Instantly, intervention returned. When we saw Noah, on whom's account the world was saved after judgment, you would think Noah was just a lucky man. There's nothing like luck in the spirit. The moment Noah came out of the ark, in Genesis 4:20 to 22, he said he raised an altar to the Lord. Every man that impacted the world and brought God's government was a man of prayer. We saw the life of Abraham when God separated him. The moment he entered the promised land, Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, he raised an altar. He came to Bethel, Genesis 12:7, he raised an altar. He came to Mamre, Genesis 13:18, he raised an altar. He was a man of the altar. If you trace Abraham's sojourn on earth, you won't find temples. You will find altars. Till today, you go to the Sinai desert, you will see the altars of Moses. These men lived from altars. That's why they had authority to shape the earth. Your business can't be shaped if there's no altar there. Your family can't be shaped if there's no altar there. Our territories cannot be shaped if there are no altars. That's why the devil will fight your prayer life with everything that he has. But when a man wants to operate from an ascended realm, he needs to pray. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. He says, suddenly they run, they are not weary. They walk, they don't faint, because they have entered another technology. Prayer is our strength. Prayer is our intervention. Prayer is our resuscitation. And if we will change our world, then we must pray. And we must pray genuinely. If change will come. Finally, is the rigidity of consecration. A generation that is porous, we have no power in the realm of God. Consecration is our weight in the spirit. The way consecration works is, sometimes a wave of God can come on you, and you find certain spiritual patterns begin to replicate. When you want to grow, the first thing you will do is to build a discipline around what you have seen. Because a time will come, that wave will withdraw. There was a time a wave came upon my life. I fasted for 5 years non-stop, morning to evening, every day. And there were times when I went for many days. I realized this was not willpower. I realized this was not desire alone. And so the first thing I did was to make fasting the routine of my life. Every week there's a time of fasting. Because I knew when this wave leaves, this thing will become a struggle. And so a man who understands how consecration works builds discipline around graces that are at work in his life. And when he grows from discipline, the discipline will bring him to desire. And that desire is what separates him to God. In that consecration, something happens to him. God will raise him to heights of authority. Because there are realms of life. We are not all living at the same realm of life. I've studied my scripture, and I came to understand that there are 7 realms of life. The first realm of life is the realm of mercy. You don't know God, you don't do the will of God, but the mercy of God will not allow you to be destroyed. Even in your foolishness, God protects you. As you grow from the realm of mercy, God will bring you to the realm of grace. To the realm of love, I beg your pardon. In the realm of love, God begins to bring intervention. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God is not just delivering you. He's bringing intervention, and in that intervention, he's teaching you. And then you grow from the realm of love, you come to the realm of grace. In the realm of grace now, God gives you abilities. And so you begin to exercise certain divine abilities. But life doesn't stop there. For those who walk with God, they know. You know, in the realm of mercy, you can do a lot of things God will let go because of his mercy. Mercy prevails over judgment. In the realm of love, God will pay the price for your iniquity. In the realm of grace, God will forgive you because of his grace, yet empower you to keep serving him. That's why people are sinning and still manifesting. But as you grow in consecration, you will move from the realm of grace, you will come to the realm of the laws of God. There, righteousness becomes an experience. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You come to that realm where if you err, you will discover that the laws that govern you are different. Because the kind of power you operate in is different from the normal believer. At that level, God can put his glory on your life. This is why we may have gifts. 2 people can have gifts of healing. 1 can come to an auditorium, pray, the sick is healed. Another one comes to the auditorium, he will pray, the sick will not just be healed, but the glory of God will fall down. People will be repenting. People will be confessing. People will be giving their hearts to Christ. And they will go home and enter a revival. Because that guy doesn't just have the gift. He has the glory of God. There is a government that comes with him. And because God has put his glory on his life, God will watch jealously over his life. There are things he cannot do. You can be growing and be in the level of grace. And you can have bitterness in your heart and come to preach. And God will still bless people. When you enter the realm of righteousness, bitterness can kill you. You can operate in the realm of mercy, in the realm of love, and in the realm of grace. And you can have unforgiveness. And you can still walk with God. And God will be, on account of his grace, forgiving you. And on account of his love, shielding you. And on account of his mercy, taking judgment from you. But when you come to the realm of the law of God, where his glory is your weapon, if you carry on forgiveness, after a while he will kill you. In fact, in that realm, God gives you new laws because you have come into the class of the angels. You are like an angel among men because there are men that operate like angelic functionaries. That's why one man can enter a city and the whole city stands still. You think it's publicity. What kind of publicity can you do to fill a stadium? When you find one man walk into a stadium and the whole city comes to him, know that he's in partnership with angels. That is not flyer and poster. If you think it's flyer and poster, go and do 1 million posters and see if there will be power to stir the hearts of men. When one man comes to a city and the city stands still, know that angels work with such men. That was the class Jesus entered when he entered the wilderness. Angels begin to minister with you. Angels begin to strengthen you. The spirit of just men made perfect begins to come to you. The laws that rule you begin to change. There are things others can do, they will be forgiven. You can't do it. Another man can brag in unforgiveness. You can't do it. Because consecration has carried you to another ecosystem. So you don't live on earth, you live in heaven. That's what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. He was working in Nazareth, but he was operating under another law. For a Jesus at that level, sin is not something you do and say, God, forgive me. If you sin, you will die. Because there are things you do, it will become an error over a generation. Because of the authority you have come into. When Balaam fell, it became the way of Balaam. It became the error of Balaam, I beg your pardon. It became the way of Balaam and it became the doctrine of Balaam. There's a stature you get to. Anything you do is immortal. Because you have become like an immortal. And it's consecration that takes men there. And when men begin to grow to the heights of immortality, that is when they can have authority to shape the government of God on the earth realm. And so the reason for consecration is to empower us to the point where we can operate on earth like princes of heaven. When we talk, it is a law in the spirit realm. When we speak, it's a law in the spirit realm. In fact, in this consecration matter, there's a realm you get to, you are not permitted to eat. Some days, if you eat, you can die for gluttony. God can kill you because you are eating. Because of the kind of power you operate in, you must be regulated by government. And it is a degree you align with that government that you can bring that government to the earth realm. Consecration is a power, and there are realms that men are taken to. When you master that realm of laws, then you enter the realm of the secrets of God. He said, the secrets of the Lord, they are with them that fear him. He shows them his covenants. So men now handle secrets. A man can tell you what to do, and dead people will rise. And you can look at that man and think he's an ordinary person. You are joking. See, the body of Christ is a mystical organism. Paul met Jesus in his glory, and Jesus directed Paul from heaven to go into the city, and Ananias will meet him. Because some of the things you are looking for in heaven, they are earth. Men are having them. They are custodians of the secrets of God. It's because of those men that the body of Christ can fall. There are some men among us, if God carried them today, the church is in trouble. Because, did you not read? Paul was leaving Ephesus. And he said, if I leave you, grievous woes will come. These people have the Holy Ghost, but Paul was their covering. Paul said, if I leave here, many of you will fall because I left. Because that man is a custodian of the secrets of God. He knows what to say at night, that people will not fornicate. Even when they want to fornicate, their plan will fail. You have planned to do the fornication. You now go to the hotel. They say, today there's no electricity. So the whole hotel is not working. Because a custodian passed the law. Look at you. Some of you think you are standing because you are strong. You are standing because somebody has prayed. You are standing because somebody else is present. You don't know. You planned with that lady. The lady came to your house. You have done all the manipulation. Meanwhile, that season the lady came is the season for your appearance. If you fall that time, you will need another 7 year cycle to come back there. And God is looking for young warriors. Meanwhile, this lady that never called you for 2 years suddenly woke up and said, you have forgotten me. And vice versa. The young man you have not spoken to for 3 years suddenly wakes up and says, you have forgotten me. You say, no, I didn't forget you. You say, okay, so why have we not been talking? Why is it now you are waking up? Meanwhile, in your spiritual calendar, that is your year of manifestation. You plan everything and you people meet. But the day you now met, God will mobilize somebody from Kano to visit Lagos. And the moment he came to Lagos, he's coming to your house. And he will come and sit down and talk and talk and talk. And you will be angry, he will not go. While he's talking, he will now say something that he should not have said. He will speak about the will of God. And then that lady will suddenly wake up and say, why am I here? It will pay you, but he will not do it. You know why? A custodian passed a law in the spirit. that no young man in this congregation will go down for immorality. So even when your will failed, there was a force. There was a force. So there are men like that that God has given secrets. If they are present. I read about E.W. Kenyon. Somebody went to his church, a healing evangelist, and he prayed for the sick, and nobody was healed. And when he was feeling bad, they told him, here, people don't fall sick. Even the ones who died before 75, they raised them back to life. Because there was a custodian there. So even if you don't have faith for healing, you can't be sick. It's the secrets of God. The secrets. Let's pray. We are out of time. Please hear me. God told me he's going to commission many kingdom functionaries. But my assignment is to teach you tonight just to stir your heart. My first night, I was to tell you, show you the portrait of the apostolic church. And tonight is just to stir revival in your heart. If I release what is in my spirit now, there will be chaos here. But I just want lift. Wait. Just lift your hands and say, God, use me. That's all. I'm ready. Lord, use me. That's all. God wants to raise new functionaries. There is a gap in the spirit. The ranks are depleted. God needs men. Now, I just want God to anoint 24 people just as a token over this congregation tonight. I want to lay hands on them very quickly as I walk out of here. So there are 24 of you now that the hand of God will come upon. It's an ordination of kingdom ambassadors, representatives of heaven on earth. Now, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the internet. Take that power. Ushers, help them now. Ushers, help them. Please be careful so people are not injured. Lay it on the people falling. You can play now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the